class do you teach?
I teach biology.
Oh, nice, nice. That's pretty awesome. There's definitely some, in terms of like gore, you can probably pull from some very specific elements.
Sure. Hell yeah, man.
Sweet, sweet. So, we have a lot to talk about. Got a new record
Yeah.
on the way. Very, very exciting. So let's go back to the roots. All right. What
Okay.
made you want to pursue pizza thrash?
Oh, dude. Well, I've been playing music forever, and when I was like a teenager, metalcore and deathcore was real popular, and I listened to some of that, and like I liked it. But it was kind of one of those things when I started getting older. It almost felt like I was listening to it because like I felt like I should. I don't know how to explain that, other than like you're like it's kind of like when I listen to Animals as Leaders, like I should enjoy this because it's so technically profound and it is really incredible to see, but it's not something I want to listen to for more than 5 minutes. So whenever I was growing up, I loved Gwar and I'd go see Gwar a lot every time they come through, and Toxic Holocaust was always opening up for Gwar. Joel was always on tour with them, and I got a CD when I was probably like 17 or 18, Wild Dogs, and I fell in love with it. It was like my favorite. And I always loved thrash. I mean, who doesn't love Slayer and stuff? But the whole new wave of thrash was going on when I was kind of growing up. And I just it's what I always found myself listening to. I was always listening to DRI or Municipal Waste or Testament. And so I was like, man, I just want to make thrash. So
So, of course, pizza is a big element of the band. Do you have
yeah.
a specific favorite slice?
Of pizza? It's gross. I like anchovy and pineapple.
Oh,
I do.
anchovy and pineapple.
Yeah, it's like my favorite. The Belushi stuff they did at Spinelli's was incredible. It was Giardiniera. I think I did Giardiniera, salami, capicola, and I'd have to look up. Maybe capicola was on. I thought it was. Pepperoni for sure, and then regatta.
Got
So,
it. All right, there's
yeah.
some good stuff in that. All right, a little bit of a redemption there.
Well, it was amazing. So I'm Italian, so I just like
Oh.
did what I would want my grandmother to make me. So, yeah.
Nice, nice. Very, very fitting, especially being in a Belushi speedball. Now, what are your thoughts on the legacy of Jim Belushi?
Jim or John?
Jim.
Jim, the one that's still alive?
His
Yeah.
legacy continues.
Yeah, that's right. No, man, someone else asked me that, and I don't, yeah, it's incredible. So we're named after Jim. We're named after him and his love of Sonic Spinball. So that's we, but then Knucklehead calls it Sonic Speedball. So that's that. I actually shouldn't say that. I don't. We're not named after any of them because we're right now we're so close to getting, that TM, so gotta be
Oh,
careful.
yeah.
Yeah. I know, I know. But yeah, man, good for him. What's he doing? He's growing pot or something like that. Yeah.
Living the
So
life, probably listening to Belushi Speedball. Very, very exciting. We're talking about the roots. Face Schmelted Off in 9 minutes or less
damn it, dude. Find that.
was the band's great, like the great debut. 2014. How do you recall the creation of this EP, the birth?
That demo's rough, man. That's my demo. So someone reviewed it on the Metal Encyclopedia. I was like, God damn it, because I pulled it off of everything. It existed for historical purposes. You know what the thing, you're right, it's my roots. So I gotta be, I'm proud of the
There's
fact.
worse demos.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm proud of the fact that like I made it happen, and I wouldn't have the band now if it wasn't for that. It snowballed into this. But what that demo was, that EP, which, dude, I actually have one in my classroom. It's wild. I keep it there that way when I walk past it. Like it's on like a table right here, and I have it right there. So when I walk past it, I remember like, oh yeah, because I made it. I think my first year of teaching is when I made that thing. Mel, maybe that's not right.
2014.
No, yeah. That's when it got finished. So my very first song was written and recorded in 2013 is when I started it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man, it snowballed into what it is now, dude. With that demo, I recorded everything myself. I didn't play everything, but I did it all myself, and did all the rhythm guitar, bass, and then my buddy did drums. And I shouldn't say that. I did adjust things, but then my buddy recorded the leads, and he became Belushi's first guitarist. He recorded the leads for me and sent them in. And then I actually been doing vocals on that. That's my buddy in Ohio.
Oh,
But
wow.
basically that off, I was like, you know what, man? I want to make a band, and I want this to be my band. I was in so many, and they kept folding up. And going back to Joel Grinds, where his first couple albums was just him. And then when he'd go on tour, he'd hire musicians. I was like, oh, I didn't realize that's a path you could take. You know what I mean? It's perfect. So that way, then no matter what, this thing keeps going as long as I want it to. So set off and made a song, and then made a few more songs and made the EP, man. And then I convinced those dudes to play it out one time, and we had a really good time. And then it snowballed from there, and we kept playing out and kept growing, kept writing more music, kept recording it. So, yeah.
Yeah, very, very cool. So prepare for trouble is on, correct me if I'm wrong, Gubby Records.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's ours, you know. We at the time, the it's a local record label out here in Louisville, and I met with the dude, and I slapped his name on it, and he helped me kind of send it off to some places and things, you know what I mean? Because it was in the beginning of things, in the heyday. But yeah, I think I removed it off of the Spotify, which, not to show shade, no shade to him, man, you know what I mean? But like, he's a good guy. But yeah, that's mine now. I took it back, self-released.
Yeah, how do you even meet him?
He did a band called Baby Bones out here in Louisville, and really a nice dude. And I reached out to him. I said, hey man, I don't know quite what I'm doing. Can you help me? And can I put this out under you, man? You help me kind of like get it out there and stuff. And he said, yeah, because he did do a really good job with his bands and stuff. So met with him and did that. But I mean, you know, for as we keep growing, man, I got to protect my investment. So, you know what I mean? There was no exchange of money or anything like that in that one.
Just the
So,
name, of course. Very, very funny to hear, man. I think it's so cool that, I feel like fans are lucky if a band even puts something on vinyl, right?
right.
But you guys, you have quite a, array of mediums. What made you
Yeah.
want to experiment with like Nintendo 64? I think didn't isn't there like a song on a pizza?
Yeah. Just
Yeah.
recently released the single on pizza. We went gold for that. We got a gold pizza at the house. We're gonna get it awarded to me. What, May 1st, whenever Brian, who owns Spinelli's, comes back into town, I'm making him hand it to me on video. So
Legendary.
you get a gold, you know how you get gold albums if you sell 500,000 or whatever it is. Well, you get a gold pizza if you sell a pizza single. So one. You go gold if you sell one. But yeah, man, I make all that stuff myself. I really enjoy it, and it's another creative outlet for me, is to see what I can make and do. And it's one of those things to where you just want to exist for the band. My buddy Clay, he's in Foxbat, which, shout out to those guys. But me and him have talked about this. Like, even if you're not making money off of it, or you have to sell, like, because, dude, I'm making maybe $5 a piece on those merch items, on the, especially like, I call them the Halo items, the, you know, like the Corvette and the showroom items, the Super Nintendo and that stuff. It's so expensive, but that's how much it costs to make them. I'm upping them $5, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Just for time and stuff. And so, you know, I might not sell a billion of them, but you want it out there in the world. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, it started with, oh God, I gotta think what the first oddball merch item I did for an album. I think it might have been that Prepare for Trouble being on Game Boy Advance. I think it started there. And I just started going down a rabbit hole of what can I do and what can I pull off. So,
Wow, so you already knew how to port music onto N64s before?
no, not the N64. I had to go down a rabbit hole with that. The Game Boy Advance, I did when I was a kid, on an emulator. Yeah, not to give too much away because it's kind of like a proprietary blend type deal. Because like, I mean, people hit me up like, "Hey, how do you make those?" I'm like, it's kind of one of the things that makes us get noticed.
It's
You know, is
very
my,
legal.
and that too. That too. So I'm like, go figure it out. Yeah, so I knew how to emulate it. I'll put it that way. And so it was only a matter of if you can get a ROM working through emulation on the computer, well, then you should, in theory, be able to get it working on actual hardware, especially with all the SD card drive cartridges that are have been coming out, the ROM cards, essentially. So, not it was one of those things to where in the early 2000s, I would have never been able to get it done. But because technology has caught up and they have all these like flash cards that you can, the EverDrives and all those things, that's how I was able to put it on a cartridge. So that one, to finalize it, because I had a lot of weird stuff with the, you got to convert it to PCM and stuff, and you're using technology from 2001. That one took me about 6 months to get that one done. But when I finally had it, then I was able to do it again for What Us Worry. The N64 was really hard. That's a ROM hack. And I had to reach out to a guy in Europe to help me finish it. I got like through it. I'm like, man, I need, that was the only one that I had to step in and get help. The Super Nintendo wasn't as bad because that uses a format called MSU1. It's essentially, it's like, what if Super Nintendo made Super Nintendo CD? So someone already made this format, and it allows for the Super Nintendo to play, in-game video and CD quality music. But the problem with that is you need a special cartridge to handle that software. So, but that took about 2 years to finish just because it was tedious, not because I was like, oh, I don't know how to do this and all that. But that one, I actually re-sprited everything and redrew all the, yeah. So.
So that's crazy, man. Are there any other formats that have been floating around in your head that you would like to try?
So I did Sega CD. We had a Sega CD, and I got, they're a pain in the ass to make. Okay. It's not because you got to burn that thing, and it was a whole thing with the, there's a queue lineup. You got to do them a certain way. And then you got product test them, and half the CDs don't work. And it was one of those things to where I also can't guarantee. I have a Sega CD. I found one that works, but I can't guarantee the person's is going to work. You know what I mean? So it was one of those that I was like, I did 30 of them. I limited it. But that Sega CD can potentially play on a Genesis. The whole thing is that I need to, so hold on 1 second.
No
So
worries.
sorry, can you come back? Thank you. Yeah. So the whole thing with the Sega CD playing on the Genesis is I need a special cartridge to do that, and the cartridges are like $300 to $500. So that's one that I would love to do, but I can't ask someone to spend that kind of money for that. Not that I wouldn't sell one or two of them, but you know what I mean? The 140 for the Super Nintendo is pushing it. But then I do have Dreamcast done for Stalkera. I have it done for the album. I just don't know if I'm gonna release it or not. Because it's not as impressive. It's a Marvel versus Capcom music swap is all it is. Yeah. We're not first to do that, man. Someone did that with MF Doom's music and stuck it out there. So it's not as impressive, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe I will. Sometimes that's what happens. I'll be like, you know what? Nah, I'll just release. I'll go ahead and make
Whatever, yeah.
it. Yeah.
There's not
So, and
enough, mediums.
that's part of the beauty of not being on a label is I can do whatever I want. So don't get me wrong. I mean, Metal Blade or Sentry, it'd be dope, but I can do whatever I want whenever I want. Yeah.
Well, that's like the what's nice about like being in a band now. Back in the day, so many bands got like ruined by labels where
Yeah,
like
that's
you
why.
guys are your own, no one's pressuring you to sound like this or do this,
Yeah.
but you have interest in eventually joining like a major label.
That'd be sick. Yeah, because they can really, our buddies in Gates to Hell just signed with Nuclear Blast, and I mean, I saw the amount they were already doing really, really well. And they were touring nonstop and some major big tours. And they saw him a Nuclear Blast, and immediately I saw just even exponential growth. You know what I mean? That's the thing that I think a lot of musicians fail to realize is that a label doesn't want to necessarily take you on and build you from the ground up. They want to see that you're doing well on your own already, but they can really take you to that next level, just the distribution alone. But that would be like a bigger, like I said, like a Nuclear Blast or something like that. Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be cool. They got a lot more money and connections than I do that would really help be able to further. And that's what you want at the end of the day. You want people listening to your music, right? You want more people. So, yeah.
Very,
And
very
look,
cool.
because I guess they're not, it's not the $1 million contract stuff anymore like it was in the 90s. They aren't pressuring you for like radio hits and stuff. Not that Metal Blade ever was. I don't know. But I'm saying like definitely there's a lot of bands that that did happen to,
Even some of the more underground labels definitely like really pressured bands to sound like this or sound like that. So yeah, we're going down the timeline here of the band.
Hell yeah, man.
So when did you realize it was time to rip off the waist?
Dude, that was said to me before COVID. What it was a fan said that to me, leaving a show, and I think he meant it as a compliment. I answer, I tell everyone, I think it was a compliment, but it was so funny. He said, at least someone around here's ripping off municipal waste. And it just, the funniest freaking thing ever. So I've had that idea kicking around for a song for a long time. That happens a lot. Someone will say something to me and I'll have it kicking around up here. And I had been working on that song for a while, and that was a dude, that was a hard song to write because that was me really trying to make Belushi Speedball sound like Municipal Waste. We're obviously influenced by all the new wave of thrash bands, but that song in particular is meant to sound like them. And even my vocal cadence style is supposed to be like Tony Farista, and he goes a mile a minute. I don't usually do that. I'm usually like a line, per a measure or whatever. He'll do like in 20 words in a measure. So I really had to sit down and try to I write like him. I listened to Municipal probably for 2 years straight before I wrote the lyrics to that song. I mean, that's it. At the gym, at least 2 hours a day, I was listening to Tony Farista to try to emulate that style, man, because it was tough. It was really, really hard, but it came out cool. It came out really good. And then I always have to clarify that that song is about us. It's not about them. It's about how we'll never be as good as them. Like it's set satirical, tongue in cheek. But there's a line in it that I had to shorten because I didn't have enough of the measure. And I think it goes, "Performers who alienate fans." And whenever Fantano heard it, he laughed and he's like, "Wow, they're going in on them." I'm like, no, that line was, "We are performers who alienate fans," meaning Belushi, but I had to chop off the "we are" because it wouldn't fit. So yeah, nothing but love for those dudes, huge influence. So
And you brought up Melon
yeah,
reacting to, so was that a request sent by you guys, or was that a fan
no.
who sent him the song?
As a fan, I don't have, I think his name's Noah. I'd have to look it up. I have it in my messages on Facebook, but he messaged me and I think he's from Washington, D.C., maybe or something like that, or Maryland or Virginia, out there somewhere, I think. But he messaged me and said, "Hey, dude," fan, and it was wild how I caught it. So one of the embarrassing things I have to do, and actually this is one of those things that anyone should be doing if you're in a band, is I have to once a day Google myself because a media outlet, they don't send me an email saying, "Hey, we wrote an article about you." You know what I mean? So once a day I Google myself, and what was wild was I saw the needle drop and it was on a playlist on YouTube. And I clicked it, it was some fan's YouTube playlist, and he had us and a bunch of other like really major artists, and the Morbius soundtrack was on there. And I'm like, man, I remember people were trying to get Fantano to do it. I go, I wonder if this is related. So I went on his Twitch stream. I signed up for his Patreon, find the Twitch stream, and I went through it. And sure enough, there it was. And then I posted the video, and this one kid messaged me, like, "Dude, I was the one that submitted it for you." And he's like, "I figured he'd love it." And so that's how all that snowballed, man. So it's surreal.
That's
And doing and doing his job, man. That's rare. That is rare because 9 times out of 10, you got to be your own promoter, man. So yeah, as a fan giving us the gift from God.
Especially in this day and age, you definitely like have to kind of do it yourself, and that's so interesting. And he did a mini review on What Us Worry.
He did a I forgot what segment was part of, but it was basically the albums he wasn't able to do a full video for. Yeah, and he did me review, and then of course we wrote this song and he responded back to that. So yeah.
No, that's so awesome. And he said very positive things about it. So
Yeah, man.
that's, he's a
Well,
hard critic.
dude, so what's funny about that is Chase Bensing, our original guitarist, who I was talking about, he's who records this. He's our producer and he does more than that, man. He doesn't get enough credit. That guy's he's my man in the chair. So so Chase is someone that he doesn't necessarily want to play a million shows, but he'll play some here and there. And he's played quite a few with Belushi. And he's done a lot for us. But he does our production. Joel Grinds, who mastered us, but Chase does all the mixing and all that. And Fantano said positive things. And then also I sent our mix in to Glenn from Spectre Media. A couple songs and Glenn loved them. It was like, oh, this mix is great. It's fire, like Belushi's people. And when I first sent it to him, he's like, oh man, I'm gonna get torn apart, because Glenn's mean. And he was like, dude. So and then yeah, Fantano coming back and saying, I'm digging this fire Belushi production. So get made Chase feel real good, man. That's all, it was really cool.
That's
So
awesome. That's so awesome, man. And on that record, Beefcake featured.
yeah, What Us Worry.
What Us Worry. And so what was that like? Like, what was the creative chemistry between you and him? Did you just give him something to play, or
So Jameson, Jameson's our full-time rhythm guitar, our lead guitarist now. So Beefcake's in the band now. He's on Stalkira. He's on every song. So he at the time, how that snowballed, I'm a huge Gwar fan. But when I was a kid in Louisville, I went to a place called Phoenix Hill when I was like 16 or 17. I used my brother's ID to go watch a band. I had to be 17. I was like, I just moved here and I was a senior. And I went out to go watch this band, and The Burial was playing. And they're a local band in Louisville. And I remember seeing this dude just killing it on guitar. I mean, killing it. And I was like, holy crap, that guy's amazing. I would love to play music one day with that guy, just because I pursuing the arts, pursuing a band. And then all of a sudden, years later, I go to see Gwar and he's on stage playing bass. He's Beefcake. So I was like, holy crap, because it's small world. Apparently his best friend was dating Brocky at the time or something like that. And so
wow.
then flash forward, Jameson was in Gwar for 10 years and he ended up quitting. Due to like finances, it's the same reason why Brent left. It's just, man, you turn, you get older, and then it's like, I need health insurance, and I need to actually make a living wage, man. And it's hard, and once you tour for 10 years and stuff, I could see how it's like, all right, it's time. So he moved back to Louisville, and all of a sudden, Jameson's coming out to our shows, and he's coming out to our shows. So then I go up to him and I message him and I say, hey, man, you want to. We got the song. You want to do a solo on it? And he said, sure. And I sent it to him. He wrote this crazy lead part. He came out and just killed it. That was on Telltale Strangler. And then after that, he was like, hey, man, would you want to, play this out with us at our album release? You can do the one song. He's like, hell yeah. So he came out. He was a part of the show. And then I was, a little bit goes by. I go, dude, do you want to just like do this? And just, because his whole thing is he's on call 24/7 at UPS. So I was like, man, do you want to like just play the shows you can play? Because we rotate the lineup. Because again, going back to Joel Grind, now that's not to discredit. We have a core lineup. Like if you go to see us, you're most likely going to see me, Daniel Neal, Tony, Derek, Jameson, and Bo and Senior Diablo. That's the core lineup. You're going to see that group of people. But we are flexible because we're adults and everyone has jobs. So Jameson was like, hell yeah, dude, that sounds good. So that's how all that kind of snowballed, man. He's a hell of a guitarist. He's a really good bassist, but he's a really, really good guitarist.
That's
So,
so wild, man.
yeah.
I was gonna ask how he joined the van, but that's wild. It just
Yeah.
snowballed into him
It's the
eventually
same way.
joining.
I just trick him. Just he
Now,
ask for an inch and take a mile.
in terms of like other, I guess, metal icons, I know I've watched a few interviews with Ryan Wace, and he's, brought up Belushi Speedball. I know interviewers have brought up to him. Have you met Ryan or any of the members of Municipal Waste?
I haven't, unfortunately. Tony has, our bass player, has met him a couple times, and he met him at Volterra Assault last year. And last year, I think we played, man, maybe it was 2 years ago. I think I'm getting crisscrossed. Last year, some of their bands played. Oh, shit, I'd have to go back. Whenever your Municipal Waste played, Tony met him and said, "Hey, I'm in Municipal Waste." And like Tony punched him in the arm and like gave him a wink like that. You know what I mean? But recently, one of our buddies from Detroit messaged me and he said that Landfill, that Phil stayed the night because I guess he was on tour with, is it Morbicon? What's I don't know, it's one of Phil's many bands. So, and again, I'd have to look that up, man. But yeah, he said he asked him about it, and Phil said, "Man, good for them." Well, I did the same shit with Slayer because he's got that Slayer cover band. So,
Now, we were discussing some of the of course, seeing you guys live. You guys have put on quite a performance. From what you can recall, what was the craziest gig you guys ever performed as Belushi Speedball? I can only imagine.
hell yeah, dude. I get asked that a lot, man. That's so hard to pinpoint because we've done such stupid stuff. You know what I mean? That like, and it's different levels. Okay. So like playing in the skate park is insane. In that big bowl when you have the 1,000 kids and we filled it full of foam, the No Comply night. Muddy Roots is crazy. Volterra Assault's crazy. The Gathering of the Juggalos is crazy. But like honestly, the scariest, craziest show I would have to say was we played a house show called Friends Mansion, and this house is in downtown Louisville, and it's really old, and it was on its way to being condemned, and there was probably 300 or 400 kids in this house, and the living room was tiny, and they were packed in there, and they were spewing out onto the lawn and outside and into the kitchen and up the stairs. And I mean, dude, if something happens, we're all dead, right? And I wanted to do the thing from Aristocats where, it wants to kill. All the levels start falling. So I was like, I want to make this floor collapse. Now, I was younger by a few years. I don't think I would do that now because we're an LLC now and you get sued. But whatever. So I was like, I want to make this floor collapse. So I start making everyone jump at once. And no joke, my buddy sent me a picture of it afterwards. It was his house, he was living there. And we moved the floor this much. You could see where it was originally, and you could see at the stairs. And whenever they all moved out and the landlord went to like re-rent it, he just condemned it. Like so mission accomplished. So that was up there as one of the craziest, just because it was so terrifying. You know what I mean?
That's crazy, man. That's I don't that's hard to top. That's really hard to top. You might have to try. I can't imagine how it's like to completely taking down a house practically.
Yeah, because we get messy at every show. Like every show is messy. Even if it's a clean mess, it's still trash everywhere. You know what I mean? So that was, yeah, condemning a house is up there.
For sure, for sure. So we got the new record Stalkeera.
Kira.
It's a parody of Akira.
Yeah, good catch.
So what made you want to make that connection with Akira?
My favorite movie.
Favorite
Actually,
movie?
favorite movie. It's the same thing. So there is nothing about that album that has to deal with Akira except for the cover. And it's the same thing with What Us Worry is an Aliens reference. But man, I don't think there's any rule out there that says your cover has to deal with the album or be a song off of it. You know what I mean? And so we use Andrei Bozikov. That is the man when it comes to thrash. And he's done so many damn bands. Municipal Waste and Toxic Holocaust. And I met him through our buddies in Head in a Jar. They're out in Australia, and they posted up their one of their albums. And I was like, dude, who's your artist? Because I see that style art everywhere. And sure enough, it's Andrei Bozikov, and he did everyone. If you're in a thrash band, he's done your artwork, like, period. So I'm just such a fan of his. I'm just like, what crazy thing can I make him paint? So basically, I didn't spoil anything, but I made him do an alternate cover for this album. So he's worth every penny, but he's not cheap. And I love his art so much that I made him do two album covers for this album, because whenever we finally do decide to release the vinyl, I'm going to do like an alternate artwork for the vinyl. So
Oh, that's awesome. That
yeah,
is a
hell yeah.
sick cover. Like
Yeah.
that.
Every single one of his things are just incredible, man. So it's always, what dumbass thing can I make him paint with cats? He's cool. He's always all for it, dude. And just honest to God, if you need artwork, hit him up. He responds quick. He's super fast. And not only is he super fast, let's say like he does hit a delay, he communicates that. He says, hey, sorry, this is what's going on. I'm gonna start it this day. So,
Yeah.
a lot of artists are like, yeah, 2 more weeks,
Yeah, definitely. I have personal experience with that, but yeah, man, very, very excited about this new release. How do you
Thank you.
feel it stands out from the rest of the band's discography?
Yeah, so with our discography, I feel like honestly the first Sonoblast album, the This Is What We Look Like, the 7-inch, I feel like from there, that's like we finally found the Belushi sound and our production was where it should be. Everything prior, it to me is like a glorified demo. Not that there aren't good prior, but something I personally want to do is go back, kind of like Testament did. And they re-released that first album. I want to go back and pick every good, I don't want to say good, but every song that we are actively play or that holds merit. I want to go through that back catalog and re-release it and do a Street Fighter cover and call it like Super Ultra Speedball HD Remix Alpha Beta. Like I'm just gonna look up every Street Fighter thing they've ever done, Ultimate Super, But yeah, so I feel like since the 7-inch, we found our songs, we found our production, we found our style. I feel like Stalkeera, and I'm not just saying this like for promotional, listening to it front and back, I think it's every single bit as strong as Stella 1-2 and What a Swory, and I think even more so. I think it's really a strong follow-up, and What a Swory is a good album to me. I mean, I write music that I like to listen to, and I feel
Yeah.
like it's strong follow-up. I think it's probably our strongest album yet. You know what I mean? It doesn't, it's got some really good singles on it. The pizza song, we have a strong single just like ripping off Municipal Waste or Hipster Posers from the album before. I really do.
Yeah, I have a good feeling it's definitely the band's peak, you know what
We have a song about how it's the peak.
I mean? How long has it been in the works for?
So that's a weird one, because a lot of these songs were written during COVID, when stuff was starting to get weird. I wrote a bunch of music. During COVID, I wrote a bunch of this album, and I went in, and the way I record is I go in, I lay down scratch tracks on guitar, because I write all the rhythm guitars. And then Chase Benson goes in and he re-records the guitars because he's a better guitarist and he knows way more about music theory than me. So he harmonizes everything way better and all that. And so I went in and laid down a bunch of scratch tracks. So a lot of this album was kind of done. I'd probably say about 70% of it around 2020, 2021. And then that doesn't mean it wasn't actually finished, because the songs were kind of, it was the bones, right? And then the day What a Swory dropped, I called up Chase and I said, hey, Chase, I want to start on Stalkeera. And I go, I know it's crazy. My album just dropped. I want to start on this one, because by the time we get it done, it'll be now, right now, while I'm talking to you 2 years later, right? Because he also, a couple other things with that is they were ex trying to, they're trying to make a baby. And then it started becoming, reality they were expecting. So I was like, okay, I got to get this done. Because I knew the minute that he had his baby, all of a sudden it's like, okay, production's off the market for a year. He's going to be really tied up with that. And for context, I just had a baby when What a Swory dropped. So, it's my third kid, but I already know just how tough it is. So.
Well, this new record, it's very exciting. I cannot wait to hear the whole thing. What's the future of Belushi Speedball look like?
Dude, we got a lot. So shout out to Josh, Tone Deaf Touring, our booking agent. We have a lot of shows booked up, man. And so I don't know when you're posting this, but we got our album released May 11th. We have a 3 day run with Death Ray Vision, and that third day ends on it, that's at Milwaukee Metal Fest. So stoked about that. And then in June we're doing a 10 day run with Joe Buck. Because we're, on the, we're besties. We love Joe, and we got the same agent. So we're like, yeah, fuck yeah, we want to go do a run with him, man. He's the man. And Joe's so cool to us, dude. He's such a good guy. And so we got a 10 day run with Joe Buck. And then after that, we're going to Europe for Ipsy Extreme and then coming back. And we got a bunch of festivals. We got Muddy Roots. We got one we can't announce yet. And, let's see. And then we got New England. Well, I guess that's in June. We got the New England Death Metal Funtime Bonanza. That's Bonginators Fest out in Maine. So, just a lot of shows coming up 2025. Hoping to keep touring and try to get out West Coast. And then, like I told you, man, I said this earlier. I want to take those old songs and rework them and redo them and do them right, do them the way they need to be done with our new production level. And also, right now I got two new songs written. Three. I got me personally, I have three new songs written for the next album.
Wow.
So yeah, always moving forward, man. So
Yeah. So that's so crazy. So you just like map it out. So you have quite a roadmap. Like the second an album is fully finished, you're like, all right, I'm working on the next record now.
this is this is the first time that the. So the second album isn't done, I guess I would say. Not that Stelkira was done, but most of it, 75% of Stelkira was done when What Is Our Worry dropped. And by done, I mean like the rhythm
Wow.
mapped out, like the idea concepts of the songs were worked out. The difference is we got Jameson Land now. So Jameson collaborated and helped contribute and change up songs. And then he had a couple songs he had written that me and him fleshed out. So, but yeah, this is the first time that I don't have everything kind of laid out for the next one, I would say. It's just I life's short, man.
Yeah, life's short. Life's
Forward.
short for sure. Yeah.
I mean,
Well, that's very exciting, man. And it's cool that you guys are, constantly making content. I feel like that makes the best bands that are constantly being creative. Now, as we wrap up here, what's the best way for people to stay in touch with Belushi Speedball?
dude, people don't believe me on this, man. But Facebook or Instagram, any of our socials, and then they can always email us like you did. But our socials, I respond back to every single message damn near instantaneous on our socials. Right now, I can do that, I should say. it's feasible. But yeah, man, the best way is just follow us somewhere, except for Twitter, because I don't know how the hell Twitter works. I tweet sometimes. I don't know. I don't. I think you gotta. I don't think it's a platform for me, I guess. Being a band right now, but any of our socials, follow us there, man, and you'll get all the news and everything up to date. And then because everyone looks at the number, listen to us on Spotify, because that streaming number is the number one data factor for anyone making a decision on booking us or signing us. They look at our Spotify streams. So
Hell yeah, man. Go listen to Belushi Speedball. Thank you so much, man, for joining me. This has been awesome. I'm
thanks,
Brandon Baddock, and this is Disturbing the Priest.
it's death. I've just seen death.